Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
I see Javi as the guy who has the biggest jump to make this year because of where Chris Bryant is, what we've accepted about him, what Anthony Rizzo is, what we know about him. Javi Baez should be, I think, that next guy in the Cubs lineup, that Cubs young core, to make the next jump up to elite-type player. And I don't mean that just offensively. I don't mean that just, I mean, in the entire game. Javi Baez is a big, big, big piece of this line.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
We are out there, we are talking, we are yapping. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. I'm Connor McKnight. Dan is out today. We've got the best backup in the business, Hub Arkish, coming in to hang out with us on the Monday before the NFL draft. Hub, thanks so much for coming in. Really appreciate it. And looking forward to talking a little football, talk a little baseball with you this morning.
It is always fun, Connor. I appreciate you having me. I don't know if I want to say good or better about the Cubs, but it was interesting, you know, over the weekend. Really feeling bad for the White Sox. I guess I would want to start there, and to Danny Farquhar's family and everybody, just, you know, obviously our thoughts and prayers. And you extend it to that ball club, and it's got to be impossible in any locker room and on any bench. But we were just talking during the break. These are all 22, 23, 25 year old kids. A lot of them have never seen anything like this, never dealt with anything like this before. And so, you know, I think it's just a reminder that there's more important things than the games and the wins and the losses. And I know all my thoughts and prayers with him and his family.
Undoubtedly. We will get to the Danny Farquhar story in just a little bit. And for White Sox, really anybody paying attention, it is a stable but critical condition for Farquhar. So at least as good a news as you can hope for in a serious situation like that. A lot of Cubs to talk about, a lot of draft to get to as well. But you can get in touch with the show and hang out with us all morning long. You can find us on Twitter, Bernstein_MCK. That is the Twitter handle for the show. You can find me individually at C1 McKnight. And Hub's all over the Twitter thing. Early adopter on Twitter. What's your favorite Twitter handle for people? Because I know there's the Pro Football Weekly. There's the Hub Arkish handle.
Actually, the original Hub Arkish wasn't me, so I got stuck with the underscore. I've always wondered, how do you get the underscore? And then I found out because somebody else stole your name.
Yep.
So I am at Hub_Arkish.
There's a guy out there who's had McKnight for the entirety of the existence of Twitter, and he's never tweeted. He follows no one. And I've thought about paying for the handle, but I figured, I don't know, probably not worth the money. Stick with what you got.
And that is what people do. You know, you go way back, because I'm, of course, from the Stone Age, is people were out there in the 70s, and not the 70s, probably the 80s, buying up all the URLs. And so then as you started a business, you had to go get it. Well, I'll give it to you for $100,000.
Yep.
Are you kidding? I'll make something up. You know,
it's a really good way to make a couple of bucks real easy. As I mentioned, Dan is out. He's got a personal issue. Everything's good with Dan. He's good to go. He should be back tomorrow, possibly Wednesday. I'll let him tell the story once he gets back. But things are good with Dan. You can email the show, Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You can say hello to us, or at least, you know, watch us on your computers and say hello. That'd be weird for everybody at work, but you can do it anyway. The video stream is at watch670thescore.com, and you can check out Facebook, too. Just like the 670 The Score page, and you'll be in touch with everything going on in the conversation online. We're broadcasting from the Hyundai Studios, presented by the Chicago and Northwest Indiana Chevy Dealers, home of America's best warranty. And here's the lineup for the show this morning. We're going to talk Cubs with Sahad of Sharma of The Athletic at 10. Midday Midway is at 11. Who's your guy? We started running that Hub on Thursday and Friday. You know, Dan and I just read draft reports and try and educate the public on those who are going to be drafted in the first couple of rounds of what's going to start on Thursday. But since you're here, we have a chance, you and I, to get real special with this Monday edition of Who's Your Guy?
Yeah, I mean, we can go, you know, seven rounds deep in priority free agent if you want. I've been working on the damn book for 5 months.
I have the magazine, the book in front of me, so we will read from the tome that is Pro Football Draft Guide in 2018. It goes deep. Hub does, too. So we get into Who's Your Guy right about, I don't know, about 11:15, 11:20, something like that. Greg Gabriel is going to stop by, too, at noon. We will get more drafty in the noon hour. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Miller Lite Bears draft party on Thursday, April 26th at Soldier Field. You can meet Bears players, hang out on the field, and watch the draft live on the video boards. Our producers, Jay Zawoski.
Another 1-2 pitch. That is drilled out to right field towards the wall and caught at the base of the fence. Squared it up, but it's just out number two. I thought he got it. And I thought that was going to be the one that turned it around for him.
Fox Sports West, nothing like getting up and then having to come right back down for a home run call. They'll trick you. They'll trick you. Rick Camp.
Well, here is Giancarlo, who fly to center his first time. Pitch. Swung on and drilled to deep right field. That ball's high. It is far. It is gone. Giancarlo. Non de medica. That ball sure traveled far. Giancarlo. A two-run blast. A Stantonian home run.
A singular treasure for Yankees fans is John Sterling. Is he? So he's singing the whole thing now? That's what he's doing? Because earlier it was just it was some sort of phrase in Italian, and now he's singing and serenading someone. We also have the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
The more easy baskets you get, the better up. There you go. Tinacubo! Oh, he caught a body! Okay. Oh, he caught a body!
Finally, the Bucks have done something. It feels better. I don't know how much I love it. 104-102 over the Celtics. But I just, Hub, I mean, I don't know how much NBA playoffs you've been watching, but I find myself gravitating toward that Bucks team over and over again because I need desperately for someone to help Giannis. And not enough people are helping Giannis.
They have been, to me, an interesting story really over the last couple of years. You know, the whole Jason Kidd saga and then the talent that's come and gone. And yeah, and they're there and they're not there. I have to confess, though, it's kind of a lost NBA season for me.
Sure.
I checked in on the Bulls once in a while so I could speak, you know, semi-intelligently about
most did
it.
Now and again.
But, and you know, let's just wait for the four All-Star teams when we get to the conference finals, and then we'll go from there. You know, so I don't know. There's something with that league. It's not doing it for me right now.
Hub Arkish, modern NBA fan. We found some thing. This week is an interesting one to me because over the weekend, I think we found some answers in the Chicago Cubs lineup. We had, up until that point, played 500 baseball. We had seen, you know, just kind of this one above, one under, right about even. I think over the weekend, be it through a knockdown dragout series at Coors Field with a darn good offense and some decent pitching that they've got in Colorado as well, you found some answers, I think, for that squad. It may have cost you. It may have been painful. There may be some growing pains yet, but you found some answers with that team. And I think later on this week, we're going to get some answers with the Chicago Bears. We're going to get some answers through the NFL draft. So that's, I think, where we're going to start after the update here is, you know, Hub, I think a lot of people knew that the defensive ability of Albert Almora was up in game-changing range. But we saw it on display, and we had it told to us. We had it exemplified for us in Coors Field over the weekend. Some incredible stuff from the young man.
I don't know, Connor. I'm not even suggesting he's the best defensive center fielder in baseball today, let alone ever. But I know I've watched a lot of baseball over a lot of years. I don't think I've ever seen one guy make three plays like that in one game. You know, and I know that Bud Black was saying he hasn't. You know, so and it was probably the difference in that game. You know, I don't think there's any question that he saved that game.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Have a weekend, Albert Almora. Nice to have the Cubs grab themselves a Series 2 in Denver. I'm Connor McKnight. He's Hub Arkish in for Dan Bernstein. This is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. The segment's brought to you by Shell. Get the feeling of being rewarded with gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Hub, I know we've all seen this offensive environment, right? We've seen the way baseball has changed over the last 2 years or so. And when you're in a place like Coors Field to begin with, where the ball is going to jump regardless of what era you're playing in, humidor or no, you've got to have outfield defense. And what Albert Almora was able to do in a game that the Rockies were coming right back on in, and in a game where you had some team building moments there, whether you were right on some of the issues, whether you were wrong, you had to come together about a number of things this weekend in Denver, and Albert Almora was, I think, a little bit of glue for that Cubs lineup when they needed it.
I don't put this in a bit of a strange context, but to really feel how well Almora played yesterday, and you mentioned playing in that ballpark. Have you ever seen Jason Hayward in his 5 gold gloves look as awkward as he did in right field yesterday? I mean,
no.
That's how difficult it was out there.
I haven't.
And Almora is out there absolutely tearing it up. And then to boot, he had a tough 1-for-6 yesterday. So he's down to what, 318, 320?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to hit 320, but this is one of the things that's been bugging me really since about midway through last year with all of these kids in some respects. If you don't put them out there every day for 2, 3, 4 weeks, how do you know what you have?
Are you going to find
Almora, you were never going to know if he's your – and I still don't know if he's your leadoff hitter. He's not going to hit 320. We know that. But if he hits 260 and he gets an OBP 340, 345, you got to find a spot in the lineup to keep him on the field. The other thing that fascinates me right now, Connor, and I think we've known this, but now we've seen this, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant – are not the only two of these young players with MVP-type credentials. I'm not saying that Wilson Contreras or Javier Baez are ever going to win an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And they both right now have a little more attitude than I would like. but they've got those tools. And so now you've got, you know, 4 or 5 guys in your lineup every day who can play like that. If the starting pitching comes around, you have to assume it will. And it better, because right now it's suddenly looking like, could the Central be the best division in baseball this year? I mean, you got the Cardinals and the Brewers are red hot. Pirates have cooled off. So I don't think they want to let this lag the way they did last year. They got to get going sooner.
Yeah, they've got a little helium under them right now. And I think whether that's being driven by Javi Baez, whether that's an Albert Almora thing, I think you're right, Hub, in that these guys, you have to see for extended periods of time what young players can do for you. Javi Baez got a chance to do that when Addison Russell got hurt a little while ago, a couple of seasons ago, and he showed you what he's got. I think that scouting report on him, the giant amount of swing and miss that you worry about, has kind of tempered some. I mean, he's always going to have big hacks, especially even in 0-2 counts. He's not gonna shy away from those moments. But that ability kind of outstrips any strikeout worry. I mean, the fact that he can pound one whenever is incredible to me. And Albert Almora is going to have the right on right issues. You know, right-handed breaking balls can flummox him for a while. But if you're going to find out what Kyle Schwarber is going to be, who, by the way, has strung together a handful of good ABs, yeah, and now has the average flirting with the 300 mark, average being what it is. But if you're going to find out what Kyle Schwarber is, if you've committed to that, you have to help him defensively. What? And Albert Almora is the best way to do that.
If you've got gold gloves in right and center, you can probably afford Schwarber in left. If you've got Ian Happ in center, I don't think you can afford him. And I like Ian Happ. I don't dislike any of these kids.
Sure.
You know? But you got, now you're at the point, if you want to win another World Series, maybe win a few, you got to figure out which ones are the real deal. You got to have 7 or 8 guys that you can put out there every day. And I'd like to think that's where Madden is going. I don't mind the occasional rest. I get the importance of letting Contreras sit down yesterday with an off day today. But to have a bunch of guys playing 115, 120 games, I don't think that's the way you sustain this. And I'm hoping that Madden's starting to see that now.
You had a couple of strange events, whether it's catches out in center field from Albert Almora. He did have a bad base running play on Saturday, running into Nolan Arenado, so he's welcoming over to third base, kind of a bad move there. But even still, you've got a play at the plate that ends a game in review. You've got a fifth inning that went wonky on Yu Darvish yet again, and maybe after a quick break here, we'll get into that. I don't know where you come down on the unwritten rules of baseball on this side of the unwritten rules, right? The decision, the idea that we've been stealing signs forever and it's just part of the game, the idea that, all right, if you're going to do this, then I'll do that, and I'll push the rules to the very, very brink before having to get a talking to from the umpire. But you know, you mentioned that the swag that Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras has you a little bit, a little off-put, I think, over the weekend.
Yeah, but that's not the one I'm talking about. I love that Javi did that.
Interesting.
I love LeMahieu trying to say, you don't get to stop me from stealing signs. Yes, you do. You know, I thought that was cool. Now, with Javi, it was his comments last week after the bat flip thing, and You know, just a little too strong for me. You know, Contreras, I get that he's the ultimate competitor, but you don't want to throw Darvish under the bus. I didn't think that was a real good idea. And I think that's just youth. I think they've got to figure that out, and I'm sure that Madden is talking to them about it. But no, I love the little confrontation with LeMahieu yesterday. I thought that was perfect.
Like we said, a weekend of growing pains, but a weekend of answers for the Cubs as they took a series in Colorado. We'll get into the Javi Baez, DJ LeMahieu beef. Plus, what's going on with Wilson Contreras and Yu Darvish, too? He's Hub Arkish in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. This is 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer on the call here on 670 The Score. That was Javi Baez and DJ LeMahieu playing a little game.
And Ronnie is such a nice guy that it didn't occur to him what was really happening.
Well, to be honest, I can't really blame him. I've never seen anybody do that.
No.
I've never seen anybody really try and get into somebody's head like that when they're out on the base paths. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but Hub Arkish, Connor McKnight here, the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Hub is in for Dan. We had a weird weekend in Colorado, what with the Cubs, and really kind of a heated exchange back and forth all weekend long. It was a good series of baseball, to be sure, but I don't know. Listen, sign-stealing to me, and the way it's always been explained to me by players and those who are in the game, is that it is part of the game. If you can do it better than the other team, so be it. There are, however, weird scenarios by which you're not supposed to do it. Don't have a guy out in center field with binoculars relaying signs. That's a bad thing. Teams have been accused of having done that before. You're not supposed to do that, and you're going to get et up for doing it. You're not supposed to be obvious about it, I guess. But at the same time, if you are being obvious about it, then the block that Javi Baez is going to offer DJ LeMahieu is going to be the obvious pushback to it. It doesn't... And I love Javi. I love the swagger. I genuinely don't mind the bat flipping. I genuinely don't mind the flavor with which he plays the game. I really enjoy it. I just don't know that this does anything for anybody. It doesn't seem to me it's not going to stop sign stealing. It's not going to stop LeMahieu for doing what he's doing. It seems I am genuinely confused about why we needed to make a stand here.
Well, I don't know if I agree with you that it's genuinely accepted that everybody does it. I let me rephrase that.
Sure.
Yeah, everybody does it, but I do think it's not okay. I mean, it's like shame on you if you let him get away with it.
Yeah.
And so I think in this case, it was Javi being Javi. And again, I thoroughly enjoyed it because I thought he put LeMahieu in a situation where what was he going to defend? You're interfering with my theft. What was interesting, I didn't understand what the umpires got so worked up about, though. That's what I always worry about with some of these kids is that, you know, do they know the line to where, you know, don't mess with the umpire. Mess with LeMahieu, don't mess with the umpire.
Well, and that's what, you know, as soon as he got started, as soon as Javi got talked to by really the entire umpiring crew, they were just telling him you can't be in front of LeMahieu when the pitch is being delivered. You have to get back around him. You can't, I think, deceive a base runner in that manner. So I get why an umpire had to set things straight and stop that. It's like two kids, you know, just goofing around. And you
don't think he was in front of him when the pitch was delivered. He was trying to get back to his position at that point.
Some of them, you know, kind of running around LeMahieu and back. And furthermore, I understand but don't necessarily agree with wanting to put LeMahieu in a situation where now everybody sees it, right? Now everybody sees what the Rockies were doing. Javi pointed it out to all of us. But if you're compromising your ability to play defense,
you know what's really fun about
this? By running around DJ?
At the end of the day, I think what's really fun about this is what happened over the weekend is all three of them, Contreras and Baez and Almora, left the kids' table and moved to the adults' table.
Feels that way.
It was Contreras, whether he was right or wrong, saying what he thought needed to be said Saturday night. It was Javi taking over the game on Sunday right after your MVP took one in the noggin, and so I think this is the natural progression that you're hoping to see with this baseball team, and now we'll watch and hope they're ready for it and mature enough and that they handle it well.
It's still going to be a pretty raucous adult table, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kids' table, leaving it good, that's still going to be a fun kind of Thanksgiving table.
That's because your manager is like the ringmaster. I mean, you know, he encourages that, which is the good part. I think that Joe Madden is at best a mediocre baseball strategist, at best. But I think he's an excellent manager, because over a 162-game season, it's more about managing young men than it is about baseball strategy. And so that's where this all seems to come together for them.
312-644-6767. Maybe I'm reading the sign-stealing episode between Javi Baez and DJ LeMahieu wrong. Happy to hear from you. 67011 is the text line, too. Here's the quote from Javi Baez. I'm going to read this. We'll talk to Sahadev Sharma at 10. He's the guy who took the quote, or one of the few beat writers who was there. But the Baez audio was a little scrambled by some background celebratory music, so we don't have the audio as clean as we'd like or as safe as we'd like either. But here's how Javi Baez put it. We got to protect our pitchers. If you got to do something else, I will do it. This game is hard enough. If they're going to do it, meaning sign stealing, other teams do it, but don't do it to our face, because I'm going to do something about it. I don't care who it is. I don't care what's the result. Yesterday, they hit a lot of pitches with men on second base. Today, I saw him every pitch, and he was doing it. I made my adjustment about taking care of my team. If they don't like it, oh well. I get pointing it out for people. I understand making a spectacle of it, even, because that's what we had. I mean, that was a show-stopping. I'm sure networks had it on. I'm sure all night we were looking at replays of Javi Baez and DJ LeMahieu jockeying for space. But I just don't know the benefit of keeping – it's not a strategic advantage for Javi to stand in front of LeMahieu like that. And it's not – furthermore, it's not going to stop the sign stealing, because LeMahieu's 5 inches taller than he is.
Well, I mean, it was doing something, because LeMahieu was bitching about it. So I don't think the 5 inches were helping him. I think we're on different pages on this one, Connor.
That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, I know it's fine. Yeah. I don't mind anything he did. I thought that, you know, he took control. They won the game. I guess that's the way I measure these things. I go back to the bat flip last week.
Yeah.
And what I didn't like about that was A, they lost the game, but B, more than that, his comments in the locker room after that one was, you know, not my team. I don't worry about it. We lost the game. There's still music in the clubhouse.
Right.
Something about we lost the game. There's still music in the clubhouse. That rubbed me the wrong way. I don't think he meant that, you know, but it was just the way it came. And you know, we're assuming we get all this accurate because it's loud in there, and that some of the kids are harder to understand than others. But I don't know. I'm with him on this one. I thought it was cool.
I guess to a certain degree that clubhouse is purposefully focused pretty inside, right? Mm-hmm. That focus is about, if we do what we know we can, we'll win a division.
Mm-hmm.
We'll win a playoff series. We may even head back to the NLCS and play for a World Series title for the second time in 3 years. I think those kind of comments are more about making sure that they're all together on the right track than it is about having swag. At the same time, I have no problem with the swag, I guess, in general, as long as it's not stopping success on the field.
Yeah,
I guess to a certain degree.
I think maybe where we're going in different directions. I didn't see that whole thing as swag. I saw that as Baez, exactly as he said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were cheating. I stopped him. And I'm cool with that. I'm sure his teammates enjoyed it. You know, I worry about when it goes over the line to the potential of distraction, to the potential of disagreement.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I'm fine with Baez yesterday. Contreras has got to learn to keep his mouth shut. That was, and listen, I got no sympathy for Hugh Darvish. I wasn't a huge fan of the signing in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay. But that just, if he's going to be the leader of this baseball team, and Contreras is probably going to be, because I'm not so sure that once you get past Rizzo and Bryant, that he isn't the most skilled of the bunch. When you look at the ways he plays that position and the way we know he can hit, and we know he's going to talk. I mean, we've known that since he got here. It only took him a couple days. He's got to be more careful in what he says and when he says it.
A lot of text coming in saying that that nobody has to be set as a defender. No, nobody's saying you have to come set as a defender. That's preposterous. I mean, you watch Dustin Pedroia play for the last 15 years. He's moving as soon as the pitch is coming in. But you can't – the umpire, and whether the umpire is interpreting the letter of the law the correct way or not, but what he told Javi, at least from what I read in Sahadev's piece, we're going to talk to him in just a couple, the umpire told Javi you can't be in front of the base runner.
See, I don't
think that's right either. You just can't impede his path.
You cannot obstruct the base path.
Right.
But I doubt that there's a rule that says you can't stand in front of him if the base path is behind you. That doesn't we'll find out. We'll get somebody who knows.
Yeah, the Contreras stuff you bring up is an interesting point too, Hub, because I read those quotes too, and that really did raise an eyebrow for me. Wilson Contreras has been a very important part of this team because of what he's able to do defensively from behind the plate. His arm is a weapon. It worries me at times only because He loves to throw it onto the bases so often that any miscue is essentially two bags. And I worry about that math working out right. I worry about making sure that if you're throwing down too often, you're only increasing chances for mistakes, and then you're giving bases away. It's a lot like a run expectancy chart. If you're putting that base runner another 90 feet forward, then that's a problem. And obviously, if the guy's on third, he's coming home, and that's a run.
I think he'll learn from that, Connor, and I think the reality is, at least at this point so far, he stole an NLDS doing that. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
You got to live with the ability. Yeah, you got to live with those chances because of the skill he's got. I would say, though, that Yu Darvish has been a pitcher in this league, and a good one, for a lot longer than Wilson Contreras has been there. And I'm sure that, you know, the quotes he's got, we'll talk to Sahadev about it, I'm sure the quotes he's got were put into context when he talked to Yu Darvish about him, about easing off and taking velocity down and making sure that in the big leagues you're paid to get swings and misses. There were some curious ways to talk about a starting pitcher who's going to be a big part of this team for the future, and a guy who's really got to get himself together in the fifth inning and pitching deep into ball games. Really, it's kind of everybody around it, but I am curious to see how that kind of conversation plays out over the next couple of weeks and even into his next start.
Well, and then I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was now, but somebody who's with the team on a regular basis, and just asking, how much English do these guys actually speak? I know Contreras speaks English, but it's his second language.
Yeah.
Yu Darvish, I know he understands some of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got an interpreter. We know that. And so now, not only have you got things that we might not think are the best things to say, but they're also being interpreted in different ways. And this is guys with their second languages. It can get messy if you're not careful.
Segment brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? Well, with Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. He's Hub Arkish in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Connor McKnight. Take a quick break and an update when we get back. Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic will clear up some Cubs questions for us here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.